shit, shit, shit show. It's a fucking shit show. Shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Shit Show Gina, finally, we've made this happen, my dear. Are you feeling like a shit show today or are you feeling good?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Okay, what song do you want played when you walk into a room?
It's such a hard choice. I'm like obsessed with all that. What's my favorite song? I would probably pick some like new Beyonce song, one of the country songs.
You have to pick a song, girl. Like, you don't know I was going to ask you this.
I thought about it. I'm sure I prepared and think about this. And I was like, no, I'll get too nervous. And like, maybe a good old Taylor Swift song.
Like what?
22.
Okay.
Get along 22.
Okay, well, if you change your mind.
I'm going to change my mind.
Okay. Okay. Carbohydrate?
Bread.
What kind of bread?
French bread, like a baguette and cheese. That's my ultimate go-to meal that I eat every day.
What's your favorite kind of cheese?
I like really like a nice, smelly, runny French cheese with like butter, too. It's the best.
All the things in condiment?
Condiment. Probably ketchup. Nice. Or mayonnaise. I love mayonnaise.
How did you find out you were an adult child?
So I've been seeing this therapist, and I found him, like, I was watching all these shows on YouTube, and he had all these videos about narcissistic abuse, and that's kind of what I was thinking, but I was like, I wasn't full on in on it, but I was like, all right, I think this is, like, an area to explore. But I've always known there was something wrong with me, and I just didn't really know what it was. I just had no idea, and I just still, to this day, cannot believe I've never even heard of this concept before. But so I had seen this old therapist, and then he was super expensive, and I totaled my car. I had to fix it. So I stopped seeing him, and I got new insurance at the same time, and somehow picked the closest person to my house, ended up getting in contact with my therapist through that way. So it was real, like, almost an accident. And she, I feel like maybe I've seen her just a few times, and she, I guess she just told me, oh, you're an adult child, and then introduced me to the whole world of it. I was like, yeah, this totally makes perfect sense. I just could not believe I never heard of it before. I read, you know, I'm like a person that reads everything and researches everything. And, you know, specifically things about myself, I would have thought I would have somehow come across something like this at some point. And just never, never so weird. So that's how I learned.
Well, maybe you weren't ready to come across it.
Probably true. Yeah.
Is your therapist an ACA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you realize how many therapists there are that don't know it either? It's like mind-boggling.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that does make sense. It just seems so weird because if it's like part of or is the same thing or similar as to like AA, I just can't believe that, you know, like how come everybody's heard of AA? That one somehow just nobody ever talks about it, or it never came up, or it's never.
It's not as popular.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know, maybe people like don't like the term or something.
I think a lot of people just don't know about the term at all.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of therapists don't even know about complex trauma. It's concerning. Yeah. Okay. And so do you remember like when you read the laundry list for the first time? Really? Like,
it was with her. She's the one, my therapist, she sent me the workbook, I guess, that has the laundry list. Mm-hmm. And then she sent me later the big red book. And like, when I first found out, I was like reading everything and like, you know, I told her the other day, I was like, if I could have done the whole workbook, like, you know, start to finish and like been cured, or, you know, I would have done it like in a week. So she just introduced me to everything and like materials and stuff. And then, yeah, I was just like searching for to see, are there podcasts about this? Like, what have I been missing?
So what led you into therapy initially?
I was in a relationship with someone. And I was thinking to myself, I really love this person. I think I'm probably going to screw this up. I'm sure it's not going to work out, probably because of me. So I should, you know, go to therapy and see if I can prevent that from happening. And I mean, really trying to figure out, like, what the heck is what's my deal? Because I have, you know, I've been in therapy, like, in the past, and I have had, you know, psychiatrists I've seen that's been around, like, medication for ADHD, depression, anxiety at various points. So it's not like I was, like, opposed to therapy, but I do remember also, like, at the time telling my friend, I feel like I need, like, a program or, like, a goal or, like, a reason or, like, something that I'm, like, working on. And that's kind of what I felt like with my therapist before, mm-hmm. the one that I started seeing right mm-hmm. before I saw my new therapist. And then it was, like, when I when I met her and she tells me, you're an adult child, there's a workbook. I was just like, I am all in. That's just what I need. That's just what I want.
And what had been your pattern when you said you always script relationships? Like, what was the pattern?
Well, I just think that I wouldn't even say like I always screw them up necessarily, but like I always would act the same way and I guess end up in the same situation. And like all I could really identify is it's me. And I didn't really know, is it just something I'm like doing or is it just me? And one thing I guess I've noticed, I'm very different in romantic relationships than any other relationship. And in the past, like when I've been in a relationship, I'm much more up and down. My emotions are like all over the place, as opposed to like when I'm not, I'm much more just like even keel. Don't have the same highs, don't have the same lows. Like I'm not a very like overly emotional person just in general. And I don't have, you know, a lot of like relationship issues or like fights or like things like that with other people usually ever, but always with, you know, my romantic relationships, I just feel like I was like wheezing my mind, you know, just couldn't control myself. Or I don't know, something seemed like different and I just didn't really get it. So I guess it was kind of that.
Anxious attacher?
A combination, but mostly anxious at sometimes avoidant. But yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your childhood. What did it look like?
I really could not remember a lot when I was really young very much. And I was the oldest kid. And I have one younger sister, she's like 4 years younger than me. So I was always like, obviously very bossy. And I guess what I remember is I had, you know, a nice life, everything I could need or want. And I was a really like smart, nerdy kid. My mom taught me how to read when I was like really young. And then I feel like I just spent a lot of time reading and I read everything. And I read, you know, things way above my like age level that I shouldn't have been reading. But my mom is not very, shall we say, like, socially well-adjusted and normal. And has a lot of like insecurities, like her own issues that like, I feel like I could always see from a very young age. And my dad was at work all the time and worked all the time. And so I feel like I sort of thought my mom was not normal, didn't really like her, started to hate her for my whole life. Like when I lived with her, and didn't respect her really. And I feel like I was like a very hyper, very active, very like everything kid. You know, I think I know I drove her insane. And so I feel like I just ended up spending a lot of time reading or alone or in my own, like making up my own things. Like I did a lot of imaginary friend things. I had played imaginary school. I did all these imaginary things, but something I was trying to escape. And then I would drag my little sister along for what I could and force her to do whatever. And that's kind of what it was like. I feel like my mom was like depressed a lot. And so I just had a lot of time on my hands to do things alone.
What was her relationship with your sister?
Kind of the opposite. I was always fighting with her and whatever she said, I was like the opposite. Whereas my sister was much more of the baby, and, you know, like the mama's girl. And I feel like she had a much more like protecting, overprotective role, and still to this day.
And then what was your relationship like with your dad?
It was good. I always thought my dad was the greatest person ever, and he's normal, he's friendly, he has friends, thinks he's funny. I just feel like I always wanted to just like, you know, just be like him. I just looked up to him, and I just wanted to be like him, and always wanted him to be proud of me.
Did you talk to your mom the way that he talked to your mom?
That's interesting. I don't really know where I learned to talk to my mom the way that I did. My dad and my mom, they would fight and they would like yell, but my mom is the one that is the nasty one more so. Like my dad yells louder, I guess he has a deep voice, but I don't really recall her ever like talking to her nasty. They weren't really like nasty to each other. I think it was more just screaming and yelling, but you should have taken that to the place or like something like that. I don't know. So
what was their relationship like? Was it just hostile all the time?
I feel like it was fairly good when I was really young, but I also think that my mom was so subservient. You know, it was such a like 1950s housewife relationship. Like my mom ironed my dad's shirts every morning and baked him muffins, brought them in while he was getting ready. And, you know, he would have his friends from work over for dinner and she would make dinner. It was just very like 50s or something. And I think like part of that is pretending you're happy too, right? I feel like at some point she sort of decided, I don't know, she was depressed and then kind of was like, I'm over this. And then maybe when I was in my teenager years, they thought about more, but then I kind of got over it.
Did this stuff show up like in your teenage years?
I always had this big sense of my mom didn't fit in. And sometimes that sort of made it feel like I didn't fit in. All the girls I was friends with, their moms were all friends. And so they all did this thing, you know, this debutante ball. I guess I could have done these things if I had asked or wanted to, but my mom wouldn't have done it. And I guess I just kind of have this weird feeling of sort of like, I'm a little bit of an outsider. I like embarrassed her.
Do you think it was exaggerated? The way that you felt towards her being so embarrassed?
There's weird things that I was embarrassed of that were certainly exaggerated. We had a pond in front of my house, and I thought that was weird because nobody else had a pond in front of my house. So I couldn't invite people over to my house because I didn't want them to see the pond, which the house was perfectly nice. That's just a kid thing, though, right? Oh, nobody else has a pond, so I don't want to be the one with the pond. But like now I'm like, that was an awesome house. I would love to have people over. I guess probably a little bit exaggerated. And my therapist said something the other day, like the way she described it was something like, you're like taking on the embarrassment for her or feeling her, like, I don't know. Which I feel like is a really good, like, script or however she explained it. It's
Yep, exactly. It's carried embarrassment. It's kind of like carried shame.
That's what it was. Something about feeling shame for someone else or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's kind of like when it's not really yours to feel. What do you know about your parents' upbringings?
Well, my dad's dad died when he was 3. And his mom had a baby also at the time. Mm-hmm. And then she remarried and his stepdad adopted him. But that wasn't until he was like 12 or something. So he told me that he remembers when he was 3 and his dad died that somebody said to him, well, now you're the man of the house. But I don't know really much other than that. Like he had a lot of like family around as well. But he always talks about like his cousins dancing out those grounds. He remembers blah, blah, blah. And so I think he had a pretty good support system outside of that.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom grew up in Kansas. They were Mennonites, which is like basically like Amish, but like mm-hmm. one step below. Mm-hmm. So super, super, super religious and like a lot of shaming and going with mm-hmm. that. I feel like her parents were strict.
So then did she leave the Mennonites?
Yeah. So she moved. She went to grad school at USC. So she moved to California by herself. And then she was an organist. So she was jazz music in churches. So she's always involved in church, but she was a Mennonite, but she's still religious. So.
And where did they meet?
Oh, my mom was my dad's secretary. So it all makes sense why she was then baking him muffins and ironing for him too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that much about the Mennonites. I grew up, well,
like Philadelphia. There's a lot of
Amish.
Yeah.
But not like kind of 45 minutes away. Like Lancaster, PA is where they all are.
Yeah. They're not like no electricity and stuff like that. They don't allow like dance or like playing cards, like that kind of thing. It's like super strict, like conservative type rules. So,
yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like to grow up. And so did the rest of her family stay that way?
Well, I guess her mom was until she died. But her sister is not very religious mm-hmm. at all. And her brother is, but I don't know if it's better night either. Something a little less serious.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat eat everything in the damn house. You feel a little bit down or off. Well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today. All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/adultchild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/adultchild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again.
Yeah, there's probably some religious trauma there
for sure. Yeah, totally, because that's the thing, is I feel like I remember a lot of, you know, shaming type religious type things also from like from her for a while. I mean, you know, like my grandma was very like that too. Yeah.
And so then, do you remember the first romantic relationship that you had that was really challenging?
Oh yeah I mean, my first boyfriend in high school was like my first love, and we dated, you know, we were super serious in high school for 2 years. And that's the thing, I always had the crazy bites with him, that he was like that, you know, he was a participant in the crazy bites. As someone who's now had many relationships with many people and had many crazy fights with those people, some people don't fight back, you know, and some people you can have a much more intense fight with than other people. And so there's definitely an element of that that matters to him as well. But that's what I think I realized, is the problem is picking the people and seeking them out. And in high school, who knows, you don't really have that big of a world. So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't really notice or know, have any reason to know, like anything was unusual then. And we probably would have gotten married if I wouldn't have broken up with them after we got back together and broke up so many times. When I went to law school and was like, okay, I'm done with this. I need to try some other people. Yeah.
What was your type?
What is my type?
Emotionally unavailable.
Probably, yeah, probably. And like just unavailable also, like not available.
Do you feel like you would get into trauma bonded relationships?
I feel like most recently, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it with the fighting, right? Because that's like getting you trapped in that cycle of like the fights and the making up and the fights and the making up, yeah. You know? And you get sucked into that from like a inner drugstore perspective.
Yeah, I guess that's me. It just always seemed like really normal. What I always used to say, maybe I shouldn't say this incorrect, but you never love somebody until you want to kill them. Like to me, I'm always like, all right, once you have that fight, there's no going back. Once I get there, it's never going to be the same or something. And that's what I'm like, that can't, like, it's happened with me every time. It's like, it happens and I'm like, oh, it's over. This isn't going to work out, because I can just tell it doesn't matter. It's like, we got in that world or something, and that's the world we live in now. Like, it's over.
Is it usually you getting triggered? Are you the one that usually gets angry first?
I think what usually happens is I get disappointed and I get upset. And that can sometimes come out as me getting angry, or it can sometimes come out as the other person getting angry at me for being upset. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say I necessarily always start fights, but I do think what happens is if I am triggered, then I just pull away and say, yes, it probably is that. And because I don't think I even knew or know a lot of the time when something
that's
does.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm not even aware. Like, it's happened so many times recently, and I wouldn't even realize, oh yeah, that you said that, and that really did upset me, like in the moment. Mm. You know, I have a really hard time thinking and talking at the same time. Or, you know, I don't know, especially when I get like emotional about something, which it could be good or bad, right? Like I just get excited and either way. And then I would say I have a rage blackout when I get angry. I just start screaming. And God only knows, you know, later people will be like, oh, you said that. And I'm like, did I? I believe you. It sounds like something I would say, but I don't even remember because it's, I'm just like out of my head.
Do you feel like you have a strong fear of abandonment?
Yes, totally. I mean, I think that's my biggest problem.
And yeah. So will you experience emotional flashbacks in dating if you don't hear from somebody? Like you're going to die?
Oh, well, that's what I totally used to. Yeah. I mean, I did all the time. I literally feel like, oh my gosh, I can't make it through the night if we don't stop fighting or talk. The thing that I would know, that's not normal. I don't feel this way about anything. It could be the smallest fight about the dumbest thing. And that level of upset, I would never reach about something actually major happening in my life. Anything else, just something about feeling this, whatever, sense of attachment. It must be with this person.
Do you remember feeling that way as a kid?
No, because I mean, I don't know who I would even feel that way about.
Yeah, it just hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, like the only thing I do remember that like when I was in third grade, I went to camp and I went with a friend and it was like, it's not far away. It wasn't anything like people used to send their kids away for months and months. Like it was literally like a week, probably like, you know, a 30-minute drive away from my house. Like who knows, maybe not. And like I said, I had a friend there. So it's not like I was like feeling really out of place, but that could have been a little bit because maybe I didn't know a lot of people. But I remember that was like the one time I remember and it lasted for a couple of years. Like I had this crazy intense like homesickness that I couldn't stay at the camp and I had to leave. I never did things like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I was always like a mature kid pretty much. We went to Valley Forge in fifth grade. That was like the trip, the class trip for a week. I couldn't go because I was like, I'm going to have this homesickness thing.
Valley Forge, jeez.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
In California, in LA.
You guys went all the way to the fucking Valley Forge?
For like our his trips.
What?
A week. And like all I wanted was to spend a week alone with all the boys in my class. That was my biggest dream. That's how bad the homesickness was. Like I couldn't make it to spend a week with all the boys that I crushed on. But the thing was at the camp, I remember I was worried that my mom wasn't going to come to meet club is what I was worried about. I don't even know, but that's all I remember. That. So the whole, because that's the thing is I hated my mom, right? It wasn't like I was homesick. Oh, I want to spend time with my mom. And, oh, I sleep with her every, nothing like that. You know, it was almost the opposite.
I think that there's more there. I think that there's probably something you, like, I'm wondering if there's something that you don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm wondering with her being depressed, if there was like a part of you too that felt like, I mean, if you were afraid to, something must have happened.
I know. I feel like this too. And my therapist really wants me to do, I mean, therapy to try to like figure this out, which like,
I think it'll come up when it's supposed to, but it's like, either, yeah, something for sure happened. Whether she didn't pick you up sometime or...
That's funny you say that because she definitely did that to my sister. And my sister brings it up all the time to this day. And we laugh about it.
even though it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, that could have happened and you don't remember it because it was so traumatic.
No, you're totally right. Because that's the thing. You know, like when you're...
You don't have that perspective when you're...
When you're a child, it's like the smallest thing can be... Mm-hmm. Is so much bigger if you're that young, your world's so small. And that's the thing is I was listening to this podcast and I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, this sounds so stupid, but maybe this is it. I used to suck my thumb a lot as a kid. And I feel like my parents shamed me about this because I'm like doing it too long, you know? And then I had this stuffed animal and I always slept with it and I sucked my thumb and then they took the stuffed animal away from me. And maybe that was this horribly traumatic event. I don't know. That was just the closest thing I could even think of. I was just, what? Because I wouldn't have been young enough that could have been such a big trauma.
I mean, some people don't remember shit like when they're like even 8 or 9 years old. But I also just wonder that too, because I just wonder too if somehow the anger that you felt towards your mom too was somehow tied to something that happened as well. It just seems like it's deep, more deeply rooted. I remember this one time I was, I was just thinking about not getting picked up. I remember this one time I was on the bus. So in the kindergarten, you would only go half day. So if you did like half day morning, you take the regular school bus in the morning and then you take the short bus home like at lunchtime. And then if you went in the afternoon, you take a short bus at lunch and then big bus home. And so one day I was like going home with one of my friends on her short bus. And he was like, her bus driver was like asking me who my bus drivers were. And I like told her who my bus driver was, him who my bus driver was. For the big bus. And he told me that my bus driver, like, wore a wig. But, like, my bus driver was bald. But, like, I'm in kindergarten. I don't realize that. One day I'm on the school, on the big bus. And, like, this girl that was in fifth grade, she, like, asked me to sit with her. I was in kindergarten. I thought it was so cool. And then I told her that our bus driver wore a wig. And then she told the bus driver. And then I was so embarrassed. And then I remember the next day, my mom was like, don't miss the bus on purpose. And I only missed the bus on because I was so embarrassed to get on the bus. But yeah, no, something happened. It'll come up when it's supposed to. It might be something so little. I just relate to that homesickness feeling so much.
Really?
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what I dealt with.
It is odd. Cause I don't know why I was thinking about that. Recently, and I was like, God, I just feel like the fact that I have so few memories, you know, I'm like, the ones that I have, I'm like, they must mean something. Or what's
that? No, the fact that you don't have them says more than the ones
exactly.
That you have.
Exactly. That's what my therapist said. She's, this is just crazy. But I was like, my only memories of like when I was that old was like something with the doll. When I do know, I really liked the movie Annie and I loved to sing it. And then on a TV stand and I would climb up on it and pretend I was cleaning everything. I like to do a lot of singing and dancing. And that's what it was like. I just feel like I was a monster child. But
yeah, something happened and it's also tied. I think it's also tied to how much you hated your mom. So
yeah, that would make sense. That's the thing. I thought I didn't have tear ducts until I was like 19 because I never cried tears.
Mm.
And like, I can now, but I just assumed I didn't have tear ducts or couldn't. My therapist was like, well, that's huge, but maybe that is a great example of stuffing your feelings.
Yeah.
Emotions. Or whatever.
Did you ever struggle with drugs or alcohol?
No, like I have done them and I've done them too much at times, but that, I mean, like my sister is an alcoholic.
I would assume that there's probably alcoholism somewhere in the family.
Yeah. But yeah.
What side?
My dad's sister.
So where have you seen like areas of improvement or areas of growth for you? I mean, I think it sounds like in the way that you, in your relationship with your parents, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess like just my emotional sobriety, I've been doing well because I haven't really gotten into any situations where I would need to be emotional because I don't talk to people. Just kidding. But just trying to like, just kind of like understanding that concept, first of all. And like one of the things, here's an example. I, until very recently, believed that like in dating, if you meet somebody and like, you don't instantly both want to spend all your time with each other, you're not in love and you never will be. And now I realize and understand that is actually not good. That would be a bad sign, right? That's not normal. Like a fully functioning adult should not be ready to uproot their life or just have no life.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I guess I thought that was normal because that is what, obviously my parents spend every day together. Obviously me and my high school boyfriend saw each other every day. You know, like all my first early relationships were like that.
Mm-hmm.
And and I guess, you know, I just feel like I'm demanding and want to lodge what I want when I want it. So, you know, I guess just trying to not be so controlling and understand that that's what I'm doing. Understand that my manipulation, attempted manipulation tactics are really like me trying to be in control of things I can't control and trying to be like more accepting of that and just like understanding that. I really think so much of it is just like, for me, it's just understanding concepts. And I'm like this with everything. Just like, I can't understand, you know, if you tell me to do a project at work, I can't just do the project if I don't know like all the cakes or something, right? I have to know everything to do the project because the project doesn't make sense to me until I put it in context. And so it's good and bad because I can be completely out of my knowing nothing, but it's also been because I feel like as I'm learning these things, it's like, it's so much easier because I almost don't have to then think about them because it's like everything is in context. And so it's happening naturally almost. I just have to understand in the first place what's happening or what I'm doing and why. Like it hasn't been hard for me to change my behaviors and stop doing things, but it's not intuitive for me to recognize things necessarily. Or like I didn't even know what dissociation was and then I do it all the time until like my therapist explained it to me and I like was like, whoa, I used to do this every day. Or, you know, like I was like, oh, that's literally happening.
Don't do that every day.
but once I figured it out, I'm like, oh, like now I know. And I know how to, I know what, like, what triggers me.
Have you been trying to date?
Yeah, I had. My relationship with the person ended a year ago, probably. And then it was like, is it really going to end for a few months, right? And then I decided, let's go back on the apps. And I went out with one person, and I just haven't gone out with anyone else. And I'm, like, still seeing this person. And we don't see each other every day. And so it's been going well for a long time, because we've only seen each other 4 or 5 times. For a long period of time. But I think that also part of it, right? Like, it's, I don't have this like expectation of seeing you every day. So like, I'm not going crazy when I don't. So you know, it's.
Feels manageable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to have all the same issues also. He's, I mean, he seems like well-adjusted, normal. From what I can tell, exactly. We'll see.
PBD. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So red flags. Yeah.
Have you talked to him about this stuff?
Oh, because like, I barely know him. And so that's, you know, I just feel like we just met, or like we just started dating, and like we just haven't really talked about that much, period. And it's not that I like wouldn't, it just hasn't really, it hasn't come up.
That's good. You take it slow.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that's totally not like me. And also that's the thing is normally like I don't date like this or whatever. I'm a crazy person. I like to just do everything extreme, you know, let it like, right. Last relationship, like normally before that, like when people would say things like, I need some time to myself before I can date, I'm like, yeah, that would never have occurred to me before that was even reasonable. But I was like, I actually felt it. And I don't know.
That's good. Okay, give me things that you like about yourself.
I like about myself that I am funny and I have a good, optimistic, happy outlook, usually, not all day, but usually. Every day.
Okay, hope we're dreaming for the future.
I hope I find someone's unique long-term relationship with that it works out and that likes to go on trips to the beach, on vacations, and likes the beach, and likes all the same things that I do. Not all
the same. You're not gonna like all the same things.
But likes all the things I cook. How about that? Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let